Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Jonathan Woodson, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs within the U.S. Department of Defense. Also joining us from IBM is Geo Patterson. Dr. Woodson, the patient-centered medical home represents a shift toward a more holistic approach to healthcare delivery. Would you tell us more about your efforts to implement this model in MHS, and how does it develop a more cohesive relationship between the patient and the provider team?
Clearly, in American medicine, we need to do a better job of delivering care as we try and support our aim of building a healthy population. And we need to create models of care where patients not only have access to quality health care, but they are active participants in their care. The patient-centered medical home is that model, and I think the military really is ahead of the civilian sector in rolling out this concept. And the concept really involves a team approach to care that is primary care based. So not only do you have a primary care physician, but you have nurses, nurse practitioners, as well as other supportive personnel, including the embedded mental health professional that provides care. And then you have a coordination of the care. You have a communication strategy to communicate with the patients and really focus on what their needs are and respond to them in a way in which they learn best, they can accept care, they can participate in their care in the best way. And this, we believe, has many benefits, which we've actually been able to gather data on and prove. It's better for chronic disease management, fewer hospitalizations with diseases such as diabetes and asthma. Patients like it better. The satisfaction level is higher. It lowers the cost because as you manage these chronic diseases and you don't have costly hospital admissions or you don't have worsening of the conditions, whether it's congestive heart failure or asthma, you don't have the need for as many medications and expensive procedures. It's a strategy that fits well with our strategic aim of improving population health, improving the patient care experience, and managing costs. And we've got over 65,000 individuals involved in these patient-centered medical homes. Each of the services has their own strategy for developing these robust primary care models, and it looks like a very successful way forward to help us achieve our strategic aims.
DOD's medical costs have skyrocketed in recent years from $19 billion in fiscal year 2001 to more than $52 billion anticipated in fiscal year 2012. You just finished speaking about patient-centered medical home being one of the ways to slow down the growth in this cost of medical care. What other ideas do you have?
Well, we're targeting a lot of ideas because this is not a simple issue and it requires a menu of solutions. One of the things you need to recognize is that those factors that are increasing the costs of care in the private sector also affect us. So 70% of our retirees, for example, receive their care in the private sector. 70% of, let's say, our TRICARE beneficiaries receive their care in the private sector. So whatever is happening out there is going to influence our costs. But the contributors to the increase in cost are increased use of technology, increased utilization of services, particularly behavioral health services, increased pharmacy costs are really some of the big three. So we have strategies for moving and assisting patients and encouraging and incentivizing patients to move from retail pharmacy to mail order pharmacy. It has benefits in terms of their health because, in fact, if they get their medicines delivered to them, the chances that they will have gaps in taking their medication are much lower. And by the way, it costs them less to get the home delivery because they pay one price for a 3-month delivery and it's proportionately less. We have strategies for looking at technology use. So one of the things that we have to recognize is that more care is not necessarily better care, that we need to have proper use of technology, not overuse of technology. So the whole issue of looking at clinical effectiveness research to drive our strategies for care, looking at best practices and clinical guidelines, looking at communication strategies so that patients don't fall through the cracks and then have worsening of their conditions that then require hospitalizations and the like are all strategies that we're looking at. There's more to come, basically, because, again, this is a complex set of issues that requires ongoing attention, research, and developing of new strategies to reduce the cost, including connecting with the private sector. Our electronic health record, by the way, is one of those strategies so that we have important, valid, current information and a means of communicating that affects all of the things that I've just talked about.
DoD is planning for the next series of TRICARE contracts, or T4. Would you tell us more about this process, and specifically, how are you engaging outside healthcare experts in shaping your contracting strategy?
The TRICARE contracts are renegotiated periodically, and it's a competitive bid for healthcare organizations to assist us with delivering the benefit, if you will. But healthcare is one of those volatile environments, uncertain environments that we talked about. And one of the things we have to do is a little bit of what I call reading the tea leaves, because we need to look at the healthcare environment 5 years out to see how we should shape contracts. Now, there clearly are some organizing principles that we want to shape the contracts around. We want to have access to care. We want to have high quality care. We want to produce incentives that improve population health and focus on building healthy lives rather than just disease management. And of course, we need to have some cost controls. But having said that, really the issue is that we do upfront have to develop the strategic vision for the contracts. And in doing that, we've sat down with experts in the private sector, health economists, individuals that have participated in healthcare reform, individuals that have knowledge and expertise in both private sector care as well as public programs to try and understand what the environment will look like in 5 years so that we can develop an appropriate strategy. One of the things that's going to happen, of course, as healthcare reform goes into full force is you're going to have 36 million more individuals who are going to be insured, and they're going to be consuming care and requiring providers. At the same time, we're looking at an environment in which there are going to be fewer healthcare providers as there's going to be a relative doctor shortage in that same environment. So we've got to understand what the strategy is for growing providers, creating networks, using providers smartly and using ancillary personnel smartly, physicians assistants, nurse practitioners, other types of nursing personnel and using them smartly, using the technology and communication vehicles smartly, using the technology for diagnosis and treatment smart. These are all involved in sort of shaping the T4 strategy ahead.
We had talked earlier about cost reduction. There are a lot of benefits to the DoD and VA working to enhance the electronic health data sharing and creating a long-term architectural framework that benefits both departments. Would you elaborate on the progress being made in this area? What are the core elements of EHR Way Ahead initiative and how it addresses specific challenges with the current EHR, including outdated legacy technologies?
Important question, sometimes keeps me up at night, okay? Because here's what we're dealing with. First of all, let me just mention that we know that our system, ALTER, the Armed Forces Health Longitudinal Technologies application, was built with probably not as much input as with the provider as it probably should have been. And as a result, it gets a lot of criticism from providers about not being as user-friendly. But having said that, the issue is that ALTER really was ahead of its time in terms of being a comprehensive electronic health record from which you could mine data far beyond what was out there in the private sector. But it's an old system. It was built on off-the-shelf products, on an operating system that was meant to allow these systems to work together, but that's old technology and it's a burning platform, and we understand that. And so it needs to be replaced, and we've engaged with in a cooperative relationship with the Veterans Administration to build an electronic record basically that can be shared with both agencies, actually, and shared with the private sector, because remember that 70% of individuals that receive care, we need to communicate with those individuals, but also begin the basis of the virtual lifetime electronic record as well, so that a service member is assessed, we begin their medical record, we have all of their data, they transition to veteran status, and that information is there, and we can continue their care until whatever time they're in the veteran system. But it's a huge project, lots of moving parts. Our challenge is to maintain the legacy system, maybe even make some improvements, even as we let that system come down and we build up the new electronic health record and sustain that that entity. And we've got to do that in two bureaucracies, the DOD and the VA. And we've got to control the costs of that project. We don't want to have overruns and expenditures.
What does the future hold for the military health system? We will ask Dr. Jonathan Woodson, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs within the U.S. Department of Defense, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.